this that rated R. With that homie Shaw, yeah. They telling me to stop. But I ain't even start. Tryna keep it real, yeah. Tryna keep it raw, yeah. Something you can feel, yeah. And help you change your thoughts. Yeah, yeah. This that rated R. With that homie Shaw, yeah. Getting vulnerable, yeah. Showing you my scars. Hey. Nah, I ain't got no chill. Yeah. I do it for my God, yeah.
Hey, why
yeah.
We do it?
Said I do it for my God, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yo, 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 yes, sir. We are back in the building. This is the dude, Papa Shad, aka Rashad. And we got another special guest in the building. He has been on the podcast before. And I'll just let him introduce himself one time. Because y'all probably heard him before if y'all listened to the first episode. But go ahead, Pop.
How you doing? This is my very white voice. This is Ernest Lawrence Sr. I'm here with my son Rashad again to talk about some issues, particularly the value of words and what it means to you and these type of things, you know. And as we go along with this particular program here, he may be in for a little shock because some of my answers I may give him. But by the same token, I do want to say that and let the listening audience know that I'm really proud of my son for what he's doing, what he's done, and how he carried himself and how he is reaching out to the universe and putting things out there in a positive manner. So, dittos. And this is what it's all about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate that, Pop. You know, fruit don't fall far from the tree, you know, as they say. And yeah, man. So tell us what's been going on, Pop. You know, I know it's been a couple months since you dropped in on the podcast, but what you been up to?
Well, you know, I'm basically an artist. I do video photography. I don't know if you want me to get personal with this stuff here in that regard, you know, but you know, I like doing things that that support the black man and the black community. I consider myself a community service person, you know. So what basically means that I'm out in the community doing things and listening to what people are talking about. I keep my ears to the grindstone, and I'm a strong volunteer for the Black Paper, the Black Press, the New Journal and Guide, specifically in the city of Norfolk, Virginia. And so I've been doing that for about 6, 7, 8 years, you know, giving my time.
Cool. Yes, sir. New Journal and Guide. That's right. That's right. And this is the oldest black newspaper or what?
Well, it's basically the third oldest newspaper in the state of Virginia. I'm sorry. It's the oldest black newspaper in the state of Virginia, the third oldest in the country.
Wow.
Yes. And wow. The oldest black business in the city of Norfolk. And on top of that, we are 119 years old this year.
Man, that's some history right there.
Yeah, we have some stories. You know, been through Jim Crow, two world wars, you know, so.
Man. So, I mean, with that, you know, since we kind of on a topic of history right now, I know we've, like the last episode, Jamar, who's not, you know, he's not here with us today, but shout out to my man Jamar. He's been holding it down, just really helping the podcast just like have some more life, man. And so, you know, we talked on the last episode about the power of words and just how specifically the word nigga, like we've been trying to like chop it up a little bit and just trying to keep it real. Cause I mean, of course it's the Rated R podcast and we want to really dive into some issues that we don't, I mean, we talk about, but we don't really talk about enough to really kind of have some intentional, you know, either if it's change or just consciousness or awareness. And I think that's really what it's about. So Pop, just like, I would love to hear some of your, just understanding of the word nigger from your perspective. I mean, so you were born in what, like 49, right?
Yeah, correct.
So, I mean, that's amazing to see like so many decades. And so basically, like, what can you tell us about the history of this word, because I know you can school us on a lot of things that we think we know, we say we know, we can read up on, but you've lived it. So you were in that kind of civil rights era. That's when you were coming up. So, like, you know, the power of this word that we're talking about, maybe you can give us some more context.
Well, let me kind of backdoor this situation here a little bit. Because my answer may not, it's probably not going to be what you think it's going to be. So I'll just put it out here this way. Mm-hmm. I don't like the word. I don't use the word. I mean, I have used the word in regards to explaining some things. Kind of maybe like I'm going to do now, but I'm not going to use the word. Because you're already familiar with it. But I'm 70 years old. Practically been around the world. In the military, worked hard, retired from a job, and I've never been personally called the N-word, okay? Let's start off right there. But what I do know about the word is that it's not a very light word through a plethora of people, and particularly African-Americans. I know when I was coming up, you know, you get knocked in the head quicker by calling somebody black than calling them the N-word, you know? You know, so I remember one time I had an argument with my younger brother. I said, you little black so-and-so. I mean, it hurt his feelings so bad, you know? I'm proud to be black, is what he told me. And when he told me that, that resonated through my body. And I told myself at that moment, I'll never call nobody black in a negative way again. And the same thing for the N-word. I have no use for the word, you know, because it's hurtful. Just like it was hurtful for me to call my younger brother black. You know, I did it to hurt him in a sense, but I didn't want to hurt him in a way that he would start crying and this kind of thing. This is before James Brown came out with "Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud." You know, so, but I've heard other people being called the N-word, which I didn't like it, and there were some scraps, you know, meaning fights and things broke out behind that. So what I know about words is that if it's offensive, well, let's put it this way. First of all, if it's not good, it's not God. Let's just make that clear. And if you know you're intentionally hurting somebody, then you know you're doing the devil's work. It's really, really basically that simple, because that's the way I measure my life. You know, I know right from wrong. I know if I say something out of context to hurt somebody, or that's my aim to hurt somebody, I know it's wrong. So why do that? You know, tit for tat, you know, and like you talk about in your last episode, you know, talk about sticks and stone may break my bone, but words would never hurt me. Like you said, it's about the bull, you know? Yeah. So we just need to be careful how we interact with people, because this is what we're about. We're about saving lives. We're about harmony. And as a Christian person, then these are things that I think you should be about. Mm-hmm. Now I'm very laid back myself. And one thing that I tell myself constantly, I'm not going to let anybody have any rent-free space in my head. Mm. And all I'm saying about that is that I know, let me say it again, I know who I am, okay? So I don't worry about the jab that you throw at me and the derogatory things that you may say. And not saying I can't come back, because I'm a skilled fighter. My son will tell you that. Okay. You know what I mean? Okay. I can take care of myself. You know what I mean? I can handle myself. So I don't worry about those things, but... It's not about the defense, it's about the offense. So I don't think there's a use for the word, but those who use it, you know, they have their own conscience to deal with, you know, and the only thing I can say is that it's not me.
Okay. Man, I feel like I have a couple of follow-ups to what you were saying. First of all, to that fighting comment, I remember getting chopped in the throat a couple of times trying to wake you up. And, you know, I don't know if it was the karate movies or what, or if it was the karate kicks that you used to wear. Yeah. I just remember catching a couple to the neck real quick. But But it's all good. I'm still here. I can breathe. But yeah, man, I heard you say a few things that I feel like was super powerful, and even just kind of like your attitude toward the word. And I feel like you could feel it in the tone. So I feel like you set a different tone for the word than probably what Jamar and I did, which is fine. And I think with you saying like the kind of the background that you have had with the word, and even though nobody may have directly called you that word to be offensive, it's still possible that people can categorize you as such, or people can do things to. So I think with that, like, even as you said, you know who you are, and you say that with authority. There's like a level of education, knowing thyself, and just lived experience to be able to say it with that kind of girth, that kind of, you know, belief. But I know that we, like, in this day and age, man, and this is why we're talking about it on the podcast, we have so many young people who don't know who they are, who don't have a real foundation on themselves and themselves as a people. And so it's so easy for people to kind of just use the words that people have either called them or have they've grown up around, because we all know, like, and even, okay, so put it this way, like, in the community that you grew up in, like, and I'm just saying, you know, like N-word, like whatever, like, have you, that was still something that, was that something that people used, even if it wasn't something that you may have used, but what, was that something that was used, like, as, I don't know, as flagrantly as it may be used now? Like, so I know you listen to the radio, they blanking the word out, but you know people are saying it or whatever. Like, what, like, how was it being used?
Well, you know, Rashard, it's being used more now than it ever has been.
Interesting.
You know, indirectly, because around's coming up, like I said, when the word was used, you know, believe it or not, it was used in a almost a loving term, or in a joking way, or
right.
You know, or instead of using a curse word, they might just call you the N word, you know, and it wasn't a whole lot to it, you know, it didn't break out in a fight or anything like that because you called somebody the N word, because it was part of the plan that does it, you know. And right. That is, when you know, you rapping back and forth about certain things. If you're talking about your mom or your daddy, all these kind of things, these are things we did, and it was it was more of an entertaining value,
right,
than it was a fighting word. Now I basically say, you know, white folks and other folks can come to you and call you N word, and nothing wouldn't happen, you know. So you have to be cautious. And like I said, I've been in several situations where it did happen when somebody called someone the N-word out of character, and it wasn't too pleasant. But I think what's happening now, and I don't want to point out the millennials, but I just say people younger than myself, have a tendency to glorify things, and the educators have put more emphasis, I think, on this word, and they're saying there's no use for it because it's derogatory, and that is true, you know. But any word could be hurtful if they're calling you out of character. Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, I wrote for somebody called me the N-word, somebody talk about my mama. You know what I mean? So, I mean, look, you want to fight, say something about my mama, my dad, and my kids. I mean, you know, all this other stuff, you know. Me personally, again, I don't entertain those things. You know what I mean? But I'm not gonna be disrespected, and I will tell someone, look, you know, I think you're barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think, you know, that you're gonna be consistent with this thing here, because now if you're gonna keep on using it, now there may be some kind of consultation or something. You know what I mean? But yeah. I think. Because the rappers are using the word, and even now, some of the younger people that I'm around, I hear it all the time in a casual conversation,
right.
And it's a little different. You know what I mean?
You think different? Like, I guess my question is, because if even when you say it before, like people have used it in a way that was not, it was kind of an endearing thing. And I feel that for the most part. And I even said in the last episode, like I in my experience, it's been a neutral term. It like, you know, like there's plenty of times where I've been around and even used the word and, you know, it hasn't been something that I would look at and be like, oh, this was a bad experience. Like it's, you know, we joking around, like you said. But I also have been in situations where I know that word has been used out of that space and out of, you know, used intentionally to bring more harm, you know? And so I'm wondering, you know, do you think, because I don't think the purpose of me, like I'm not anti the word per se at this point, but I know that you personally, you're saying it's not for you, but as you hear people using the word, do you have like a, okay, man, like I wish they would do something else? Or is it kind of just like, all right, well, they just kind of doing it and it doesn't bother me, but like, or, you know, so what would you say?
Well, I mean, like I said, I just think, you know, they are who they say they are. And which I'm just saying, you know, this is their vocabulary. This is the way they carry themselves. You know, most of the time when people use words that's derogatory, it's because they have it's a lack of knowing a better word to substitute.
Yeah.
You know, and just like, you know, when people say, you know, you curse like a sailor. And which I heard you say once you start doing this thing here, I'm surprised. But anyway, shame on you. But, you know, these things, you know, you don't have to do these things. And so you don't have a trade-off because now you're going out of character when you don't do these things because this is what you're used to.
Right.
But it doesn't make it right. You know, and I've said something to a few people from time to time about, well, just like I told you, I mean, can you find another word to use, you know, to substitute? It doesn't have to be that, you know what I mean? Because when they use it now, they use it in a hateful manner,
right?
You know, and that's one of the differences that I see in people using that word. Rappers and stuff, that, of course, you know, they make in business, they sell them, making music and stuff like that. Yeah. And so people talk about, well, can a white dude say his words? It's in the lyrics. I mean, come on, man. I mean, you know, what do you expect? So I don't have an answer for that, but all I can do is just speak about myself. And this is what life is about, learning. Learning is about being uncomfortable. Yeah, you know, and life is about changing. And life is about action. So you have to combine all these things together to make yourself a better person if you want to be better.
Right. And that's all this podcast is really trying to help us to do, is just facilitating space for us to examine some things and say, man, how can we better ourselves? And I think for me,
change, man, it's a change.
Right. Right. I'm thinking for myself, though, you know, what was the point when, you know, I was able to see beyond what was just like told to me, because I think a lot of people, young people today, would struggle with trying to identify who they are because they may not necessarily have a strong foundation in the whole. I mean, because we're such complex beings. We're not just humans. I mean, we are humans, but we have a soul. We have a spirit, right? Mm-hmm. And so, because of that, you know, it's hard to just compartmentalize our identity. It's a holistic kind of thing. And so, I think that word doesn't do me justice. And I said before, like, I don't look at myself as a nigga. Like, no, like if you just said that to me, like, I wouldn't. Be like, oh, that's me, you know. And I don't think most people would kind of say, oh, that's me. But I think when you hear people, and I'm thinking specifically with, like, you know, hip hop culture, and just kind of like, you know, just recognizing how how we address each other is sometimes it can be uncomfortable because I'm like, man, like, is this it? You know, are we limiting ourselves by the way that we, you know, refer to each other? So with that, I wanted to ask you a question. Like, was there ever a point or, you know, maybe a time that you can think back to when someone has, instead of calling you out and calling you lower than maybe what they see you as, like, what's been a time when someone has like spoken a word over you and called you into something greater than what you saw yourself as?
Well, I actually, that kind of thing actually came through my boxing experience. You know, I was in a fight with this guy and my trainer always told me, be aware of, I don't care how bad or aggressive you may be beating someone, be aware of that guy becoming aggressive. And I knocked this guy down one time, and he's a champ. He's the 3-time champ, and I was a little lonely guy, you know, trying to make my way as a welterweight. Mm. And when that dude got up and looked at me, he said, chill through my body. Because I said, uh-oh. and because I was still a novice, but I was good at what I do and everything, but I didn't have the experience that he had. And he just couldn't believe that I had did that, what I had done to him, that I had knocked him down, because it had never happened before. I say that to say that you really just have to be aware of a position that somebody can put you in, you know? And I think that once you know who you are and understand some things and be prepared to let some things go, because most things are worth fighting over or losing your life over or things of this nature. So for myself, I just, again, going back to boxing and stuff, I learned a lot. I learned how to be humble. I learned how to read people in a way that just because you're going to do a whole, first of all, I'm not going to do a whole lot of woofing. Mm-hmm. You know, if something's going to go down, then it's going to be on before you know it, because I'm going to take action. I'm not going to sit there and try to go back and forth with you, back and forth. We're going to get the, it won't be no words. You know, when you wake up, you know something happened. You know, so I'm just saying, but everybody's not me. And I think that if you just take time to listen, and if you had a conversation with your child, just like I'm having one with my son, you know, what would you tell them? You know, I mean, it's almost, I'm just using a little politics here real quick. You know, if you look at the president, 45, I don't even want to call his name, but, you know, and see how things are going and the Republicans that's in the Senate. You know, what do you think they tell their grandkids when their grandkids may ask them a question about what's happening in the world? You can't have a good answer for it. You know, so what we know about life is that one lie leads to another lie. So I think honesty, and I know I'm rambling here, but, you know, but the valid point, honesty is my best policy. And that's what I live by. You know, to tell the truth the best I can, and go from there.
Yeah. The truth is calling just now, you know. I hear that. I hear that for sure. I think as you were just saying that, and I'm thinking to myself, like, what is the times when I feel someone has maybe said something to me or an experience that I had that has changed how I looked at myself. So it sounds like even in that ring, like, hey, I just knocked down a champ. And, you know, it's kind of like this person looked at me like, who you think you are? But it's just like, wait, yeah, but it's about what I did. And in that moment, like, I wasn't afraid. You know, you did what you had to do. So for me, I think sometimes, you know, there are people who feel like they have to live it out before they can kind of claim a name or claim a title. But sometimes there are people who need that name or someone to speak it into them before they can actually live it out. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of people look at themselves as like an N-word because that's all they know. Mm-hmm. That's what they've been called, you know. Or they be like, oh, what's up, bro? What up, my dude? Whatever. Mm-hmm. But like to elevate that and to say, hey, when you have someone who may know you, or in context of a relationship, like you just said to me, like there's power in the fact that you're my dad and you can just call yourself my dad. And then you can say like my son, like there's that relational title has weight to it and it has power to it. Like nobody else in the world can say that to me. Right. Mm. And so in the same way, when I look at it from a spiritual perspective, like, you know, I believe in like the Father, our Heavenly Father has authority to speak to us.
Right.
And we, you know, like I feel like it's a birthright that we can hear God's voice. And to for God to say, hey, you're my son or you're my daughter, you're my child. There's mm-hmm. something powerful about that that nobody else can claim. There's an authority with that. And I think that was what happened for me when I realized, hey, like I'm more than just, you know, just a person. Like I actually belong to a royal family, because God, if God is God and you know, he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, all that, right? There's a parallel there that says if I'm related to him and I can claim relationship, like there's a power there that forces me to say, okay, well, who, like, that's not just something he would just say, like, you're my child. And then it's kind of like, I'm just some illegitimate child. No, like there's something different about how I want to carry myself. There's something different about how I see myself. And to think that, you know, if God, you know, relates to me in that way because of, you know, me being able to accept, you know, Jesus as my savior, you know, that's a personal decision that I made, even though everyone may not necessarily see the same point of view. I believe that that invitation is still on the table for every person. So there's a opportunity to say, hey, like I see myself beyond whatever the world may say, or whatever this person may say, or whatever some person who, you know, and it could even be, someone that you know and love that's mm-hmm. speaking to you in such a way that's speaking down to you and saying you're never going to be anything. You're just a this. You're just whatever that you fill in the blank. But I think, you know, we have to do a better job. And that's a challenge that I want to give myself, is to like always speak to people in such a way that I see them as God may see them, or I see them as greater than, mm-hmm. you know, just maybe who they may or may not be presenting themselves to be.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, I think this changes subject just a tad. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's a good idea when people use the phrase, what is it, or what is it that, or who is the person that can push your buttons? In other words, you know, what makes you angry? You know, and if somebody knows what can make you angry, then, you know, you're vulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, again, like I said, you know, if it's not good, it's not God. So with those intents, I think that we need to really try to find, well, I had to use the word find yourself, but know thyself. Mm, yeah. And if it takes to do a debit and credit on paper, in other words, put down, you know, just ask yourself some questions, you know. What does that make me angry?
Yeah.
You know, or just like you want to know what you're going to be doing if you do an interview with somebody, where you're going to see yourself in the next 5 years. So don't let words be your downfall. You know, don't let it, you know, it change your character, you know, because, you know, you're better than that. And there's too many examples out here that, too many positive examples that's out here that they are good examples. And if you want to talk about Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley, even though they're controversial about some things, Muhammad Ali and all these people, you know what I mean? You know, they've been through a whole lot more than we have. I think I can say that,
yeah.
You know what I mean? But they're heroes, you know, and they learned the hard way because they're out there in the street. They've been called these names, and yet they it's the word practice. Practice what you preach. You know, and I think that's one of the things that we need to do. Mm.
Man, I appreciate you speaking into this podcast, speaking into the listeners' pod, speaking into me
Yes, sir.
I think we have a lot of work to do, like you said, and I think it sounds like everybody that's listening to this has some homework to do, just to, you know, continue to do some inventory, figuring out who you are. Even if you know who you are, it's never too late to continue doing your own homework and research. So we're going to continue this conversation. So we appreciate your listening ears. Please subscribe to the podcast, share it, comment, do all that at Rated R, the podcast, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to Rated R, the podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast for more episodes. Follow us on IG at Rated R, the podcast. And if you really enjoyed this episode, leave us a comment or a review so others can tune in as well. Until next time, peace out. Peace out.